Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, July 24th. Carol Cates says there is a new aspartame warning. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. Cancer is rampant in my family, particularly in my parents' and grandparents' generations. All four of my grandparents had cancer. My dad is a cancer survivor, and my mom passed away from cancer. Every single one of my aunts and uncles on my dad's side are either cancer survivors or died of cancer. Knowing my family history means whenever something hits the news as a cancer risk, my radar automatically goes off. And it certainly did that with aspartame this past week, when the World Health Organization declared aspartame as possibly carcinogenic to humans. There is so much controversy regarding artificial sweeteners, and this declaration certainly doesn't make the choice to use or not use them any easier. Because while they have found a possible link, what they aren't doing is changing the guidelines on use. It very much reminds me of the old warning on the pink saccharin packages. Use of this product may be hazardous to your health. This product contains saccharin, which has been determined to cause cancer in laboratory animals. That warning was removed in the year 2000 because researchers found that the doses that caused cancer in the lab animals was equivalent to a human drinking about 800 saccharin-containing diet sodas a day. While there still is a possible link, it's just that it's possible, but it's not probable at those quantities. Aspartame is one of the most widely used artificial sweeteners. It's found in thousands of products like diet sodas, zero-sugar foods, and sugar-free gum. It's the blue packet whenever you purchase beverages that might need sweetening. It is also one of the most studied food additives in existence, and has been found to be safe for human consumption under certain guidelines. It has been so studied, in fact, that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration issued a statement that disagreed with the WHO finding, which, in my experience, is very unusual. Even the WHO admits the research is not conclusive and recommended that its guidelines for use of aspartame not change. The WHO based its conclusions on research done by the International Agency for Research on Cancer, a branch of the WHO that does hazards assessments on chemicals, viruses, and food additives to determine if they can cause cancer. The two main studies that led to the possible carcinogenic statement were a study from 2022 in France that looked at 100,000 adults who consumed food or beverages with artificial sweeteners versus sugar, and found those who consumed a lot of artificial sweeteners had a slightly higher cancer risk than those who consumed fewer artificial sweeteners. But that study had several limitations, such as not eliminating other cancer risk factors and relying on the study subject's memory to recall what they ate or drank. In another 2020 study of mice and rats, found a link between aspartame and leukemia and lymphoma. But, as seen in the studies with saccharin, mice and rat studies do not always reflect what happens to humans. Research by the National Toxicology Program did not find the same link from aspartame to humans. Those limitations are why it's possible risk, and the guidelines aren't changing. I have a nursing cartoon that I keep on my desk. It is a signpost that has the word practice pointing in one direction and the word theory pointing in the other direction. A nurse is at the bottom of the sign saying, Which way do I go? For me, that cartoon is a reminder that practice and theory need to go in the same direction, or we get lost. This warning from the WHO made me think about that cartoon. The theory and the practice certainly aren't aligning with this announcement, which means we, as consumers, can get lost. All of this brings me to the same conclusion as several researchers. If you choose aspartame or any artificial sweetener, use it in moderation, not just because of the possibility of cancer, but because of all the issues with artificial sweeteners in general. One researcher, Dr. Allison Selvetsky, from the Milken Institute School of Public Health, summed up all the issues with artificial sweeteners nicely. She said, quote, "Even if they're safe, there's a lot of questions about whether they're really helpful for their intended use in terms of helping with weight management or helping with preventing a variety of diseases. I think if people are concerned, I think if people are concerned, the most prudent option is just choose unsweetened alternatives. Aspartame is not something you need to have as part of your diet. It doesn't have any nutritional value," end quote. As always, please remember you are your own best advocate for your health. If you are not sure of the direction you need to go in when it comes to the theory and practice of aspartame and other artificial sweeteners, please speak to your healthcare provider about what is best for you and your loved ones. Lady Firefighters Empowered by National Conference. The story was written by Kim Smith. When Anna Gonzalez became a firefighter EMT for Odessa Fire Rescue a year ago, the 21-year-old's parents and friends weren't 100% convinced it was the right job for her. To be quite honest, she wasn't quite sure herself. Quote, "I got the sense that I would enjoy something high pressure, something to get the adrenaline going, but the idea of going into the fire service was still daunting," she said. Her parents and she agreed. She should give it her best shot, but if it didn't work out, that was okay. It turns out she loves it. The Odessa High grad is now on her way to becoming a paramedic. She also just got back from the first-ever Women's Weekend at the National Fire Academy in Emmitsburg, Maryland, where she took a 2-day course called Leadership and Supervision, Creating Environments for Professional Growth. Gonzalez, who is stationed at Station 4, started out thinking she might face some obstacles because of her gender and age. It turned out not to be the case. Quote, "It's a lot more comfortable than I thought it would be. I can be myself," she said. After her first horrendous vehicle versus pedestrian crash, Gonzalez said members of her crew went out of their way to check on her and to reassure her that they, too, were bothered by the scene. The two other women she went to the academy with, along with other women in the department, empower and lean on each other, she said. She was thrilled when OFR Chief Jason Cotton sent out the email inviting her and the others to attend the June 24th-25th conference in Maryland. Quote, "It tells me he's for us promoting. He's for women in leadership positions. It's not something you're going to be excluded from. It's definitely inclusive for everyone," Gonzalez said. "I think most women think it is a stretch, that it's not accomplishable. But these women at the conference really made me feel personally that it is accomplishable and very doable," end quote. She attended the conference with Daphne Betances, Kayla Hogan, and Marisol Duarte. Quote, "It was great. It was amazing," she said. Many of the other attendees were from Maryland, North Carolina, Virginia, she said. Quote, "It was great to see a lot of women in leadership positions. The majority of the women there were captains, a lot of female captains, female training captains, and a lot of them go by lieutenant, which is the same rank as engineer, so there were a lot of lieutenants there, she said. During the class, they learned about the different approaches leaders can take, but they also heard a great many personal stories, Gonzalez said. Quote, the best part was listening to the more experienced women and their challenges as they started in the fire service, because it was very, very different than my experiences starting in. The difficulties they had to go through, the actual challenges they had as everyone adjusted to women in the fire station. It was amazing to hear all of the stuff that doesn't happen anymore, she said. There was one fire captain forced to sleep in the hallway because there were no accommodations for her. Quote, it was a very safe space. It made you feel like you wanted to share your personal experiences in detail because we can all relate somehow. We can all relate and we can all empathize with those hardships or with that progress, she said. On the final day of the trip, the women visited several national monuments and her personal favorite, the Smithsonian. Quote, I loved every minute of the trip, she said. UTPB lab technician and lecturer is instrumental in preparing students for the industry. This was written by guest contributor Cameron Wesson, special from UTPB. Narendra Bopanna joined UT Permian Basin in 2019 as a lecturer and lab technician in the Department of Chemical Engineering. Since his arrival at UTPB, Bopanna has contributed to establishing the teaching and research labs for the Department of Chemical Engineering. Quote, newly established labs provide the students an opportunity to work with the latest advanced instruments in the field of chemical engineering, end quote. His days consist of interacting with students, commissioning the instruments, training the students to work with the instruments, maintaining and troubleshooting instruments, and ensuring safety compliance. Bopanna also teaches the Unit Operations and Transport Phenomena Labs, which are part of the chemical engineering curriculum. Bopanna says he loves what he does at UTPB. Quote, my favorite parts about UTPB are the small class sizes, state-of-the-art labs, research opportunities, continued learning, and impacting the future, end quote. Bopanna added he would recommend the UTPB College of Engineering for many reasons. Quote, UTPB has every resource a student needs to become successful in their careers, Bopanna said. Gaining hands-on experience is a critical part of engineering education. Our newly established labs with advanced instruments exceeds this requirement, end quote. DWI-related rollover caught on video. A 35-year-old man was recently arrested following a rollover crash, and authorities said one of his passengers shared a video of him driving recklessly in the moments prior to the crash. According to a Texas Department of Public Safety report, troopers responded to the crash in the 2400 block of West Ford Street on July 17th and immediately noticed the driver of the vehicle, Angel Nicholas, smelled like alcohol and had bloodshot red eyes. Nicholas's passengers were taken to Medical Center Hospital with injuries. Although Nicholas couldn't perform field sobriety tests due to his injuries, the report indicated he admitted to having had two alcoholic beverages. One of Nicholas's backseat passengers gave troopers a video showing him driving at a high rate of speed, which was unsafe for the conditions of the roadway, the report stated. It showed him losing control of the vehicle, driving to the right side of Ford Street, overcorrecting, and the vehicle leaving the roadway, rotating counterclockwise and rolling over to the left and top multiple times before coming to rest on its left side, the report stated. Nicholas was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of driving while intoxicated with a child under 15 and 2 counts of endangering a child. He remains in custody Saturday on surety bonds totaling $30,000. Odessan accused of sexually assaulting second child. An Odessa man who was arrested in June for allegedly sexually assaulting an 8-year-old girl is now accused of sexually assaulting her 5-year-old sister. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, Weldon William Needham, age 39, was arrested after the older girl told a forensic interviewer he had touched her under her clothes a lot of times, and a sexual assault nurse examiner found physical evidence to corroborate her story. Needham was arrested on suspicion of aggravated sexual assault of a child, and he was released from the Ector County Jail after posting a $100,000 surety bond. On July 13th, the 5-year-old's mother went to authorities after the little girl said Needham had touched her honey and digitally penetrated her. A sexual assault nurse examiner found physical evidence supporting the child's story on July 17th, the report stated. Needham was arrested on suspicion of a second count of aggravated sexual assault of a child Wednesday. He was released Friday after posting a $100,000 surety bond. First Odessa Christian registration coming up. Registration is about to kick off at First Odessa Christian Academy, 709 North Lee Avenue. Elementary registration will run from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. on August 1st. Middle school registration will be from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. August 2nd. High school registration will be from 7 a.m. until noon, and then reopen from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Head of Schools Lindsay Lumpkin said the school's website provides information on the registration process, but the school doesn't have online registration yet. Quote, "My whole thing is if a parent comes in on an elementary day and they're high school, we're still going to help them out. I'm not going to turn anyone away," Lumpkin said. Parents should bring all the same items to register as they would for a public school, shot records, for example. On August 4th, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., First Odessa Christian will have high school orientation for all freshmen. From 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. that evening, they will host Meet the Lions. Food will be provided. Quote, "That's like our Meet the Teacher night," Lumpkin said. Based on re-enrollments, she is expecting about 215 students, but that doesn't include students that have just been accepted. Quote, "I've had 3 families and 2 new tours, and they haven't been added yet," Lumpkin said. "A lot of them will want to come and tour first. Then, once they tour, they go in and fill out the application. That's really what we want. We want them to come tour, ask all of their questions, because on the application, it's a $100 non-refundable first-time fee. It costs us so much to house all of their information in the program that we use, store that, and collect all of the information to our student information system," end quote. They house a student interest form, application form, and re-enrollment forms in the system. Lumpkin said they want to make sure families are comfortable with what they're signing up for. Quote, "We're always upfront with people and say we want you to come in and look and make sure that you understand, you have all the knowledge you need, and have asked the questions. Of course, if you leave here and you still need to ask a question, we can answer it. Just call us, and then you can go in and fill out that application," Lumpkin said. That $100 non-refundable first-time fee is per student. When they re-enroll, there's a $175 charge to hold a seat, and that goes toward tuition for that same school year. First Odessa Christian offers tuition assistance. Parents can apply for tuition assistance and discounts for military, police, and fire and rescue, for example. Quote, and then, for every sibling that comes in, we have a discount for additional siblings after that, so that's nice. Every little bit helps, Lemkin said.
Stock Market Mania Continues by Dennis Elam. Consumer sentiment in the University of Michigan survey jumped to 72.6 this month from 64.4 in June. Recall that maximum mood occurs at the end of a move either up or down. That sentiment indicator is maximum mood. Market bottoms are marked by fear and perfectly good stocks are bid down in value. The only fear at this point is the fear of missing out. This is why bets on calls or market up are running 2.5 times bets on puts market down. Mania for Bitcoin is back. Bitcoin miner Riot Platforms, gotta love that name, is up 458% this year. Artificial intelligence lending platform Upstart Holdings, another great name, is up 342%. Carvana has narrowly avoided a crash crunch. It is exchanging existing bonds for new, which will defer payments. And hey, why not issue $350 million in new stock shares while they can? One might think deferring bond payments and interest would be a sign of weakness. It is. But Carvana shares are up 1,077%. CVNA traded at less than $10 in May. Today, it is about $55. This is a typical parabolic rise seen at market tops. Inflation has eased, but not to the Fed's 2% level. Expect another quarter point hike this next week. Not mentioned on front pages are the potential negatives tucked away on page 9 of major papers. China's economy is cooling. 1 in 5 young Chinese are jobless. The real estate sector cools. Ford cut the price of its EV pickup, the Lightning, by $10,000. Ford has held the number one bestseller spot with its F-150 pickup for years. Notice the best-selling car is a pickup. Ford does not want to lose that valuable source of income. There is now a 92-day supply of EVs on dealer lots. That is a long time for unsold cars. The EV mania has really existed among Washington Beltway politicians, not the public. The public seems to prefer four-door pickups with a footprint about the size of a New York City efficiency apartment. The head of MI6, British intelligence, sees little prospect of Russia regaining the upper hand. This will not play well in the Kremlin. Crude oil is trading at $75.91, holding its $5 recent gain. I am still bullish on oil.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.